Hello and welcome to Start Sit Cut, our beginning of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Max McCoy. Join me as always, RIP to the thigh mistress. It's Jason Waterfalls. Jason, we lost a legend.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about the lady that was in Step by Step? What the heck is a thigh mistress?
I'm sorry. We will call her Suzanne Summers on this property. Okay. We will not call her the lady who was on Step by Step.
You called her the thigh mistress.
Yeah, dog. She ran Thighmaster. Like, she ran the industry, man.
Oh, mistress is a bad connotation. Did she pass is away? Did she pass away?
I'm going to do what's the other form of master? Feminine form of master.
It ain't mistress.
It is mistress.
That's not fair.
The feminine noun mistress has the same meaning as the male noun master, a person who has power or control. And that's how I meant it. She has control over the Thighmaster universe. I've been, just a little bit about your boy here. I've been falling out a little early lately, falling asleep, not really like riding it out to the bitter end with some of these games. Point of order, Colorado, I was like, hey, this game's over, right? This is a done deal. Good job, Colorado. And then I wake up and I'm like, whoa, that was crazy. The Bills.
It also Giants, started at 1 million o'clock Eastern time zone on Friday night.
I just never had a chance.
Colorado.
Never had a chance. The Bills Giants, I was like, this is 6-0 at halftime. I literally don't care what happens in this game. I literally don't care.
This.
I didn't. No. This wasn't great football.
This is what we call in the biz. This is called what we call a shoehorn.
No. Listen, I just didn't care. I didn't like watching the Giants. I've had enough Giants forever. It's not about the Bills. Bills are great. I've had enough of the Giants.
You're not going to like my start then.
Look, but I did manage to come across, like, the things I am seeing is that, like, Suzanne Summers passed away. RIP to a legend. I just wanted to respect her here in the open because, some people are like, depending on generations, you're like Three's Company, or for me personally, I'm assuming you Step by Step, for some other people who got like horny at commercials, she was the Thighmaster lady. But whatever it is,
the things that she was in, I was like, who is writing for Three's Company or Step by Step? But you just meant her vehicles. I get it now.
Yeah. Just how you identify her, like where you see her from, right?
So you were like, okay, her generations of her. I was just like, man, if somebody is in an argument of whether Step by Step or Three's Company is the greatest sitcom of all time, I want to watch that. I want to watch that argument.
I feel like a lot of people feel strong about Step by or Three's Company. I just don't,
yes.
And I just don't care. But like Step by Step,
like
that
it.
Was Step by like Step secretly. I thought that was kind of the linchpin. That was like the
oh my gosh, for real? I thought it was the worst show.
Are you serious? Why? Yeah. Explain that.
Take Cody off the show, and that is one of the worst shows on television.
Okay. I might be biased here because
I think he ended up being problematic, so obviously disavow. But at the time, he was in like Kickboxer 17 or something as well.
He was either full sale problematic, or he was accused of being problematic, but then later vindicated. I have no idea which one it
so
is.
So allegedly,
at this moment.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Either one's not great, and I just don't love it. But for me, Step by Step, I liked it. It was a little different, and it was the first sitcom where I knew the mom and the dad were doing it. They made no bones about that they were doing it, and I was like, oh,
and so that's why you kept watching
TV do it. No, I was watching for the daughters. Honestly, I was like, this is a great lineup here.
No comment.
Al, I've pioneered the spicy take and the Oregon Trail of Al was hotter than Topanga. I feel great about that. I've always believed that. That's not even spice. That's just real.
That is remarkable spice. That is insane.
No, look, that's not even Fury Road, dog. That is like the truth. I could even make an outside case for Dana. I don't feel like doing that on this Monday morning, because it's tax day for me. So I'm like all over the place right now. I'm emotionally a little like torn up. But do you want to guess how much Suzanne Summers made from Thighmaster? I found the number this morning.
I'm not trying to romp on your ding dong here. I think it's 50 million.
Okay. Why do you think that would be romping on a ding dong?
I'm afraid to go like way too high. Like that's an absurd amount of money.
Gotcha. But like you wanted to honor like the question and like maybe there's a cool answer instead of like trying to get your if you weren't worried about romping on ding dongs and you're just trying to guess like the best possible
50
guess
million.
That you could
I think offer. She made a crap ton of money off of this
what,
thing.
What if I told 30 for 30 voice? What if I told you Suzanne Summers made $300 million off Thighmaster?
Shut up.
That's so much.
You know she didn't invent it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she was a spokesperson for it. She probably was involved in the prototype training and whatnot. But my goodness, $300 million just for her? Now, are you saying that Thighmaster made $300 million or she made $300 million? on Thighmaster.
According to people also ask on Google, she told CNBC, I'm quoting, she told CNBC that she stopped counting how many Thighmasters she sold after the 10 million milestone, later revealing on Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax and Adam, of course, that she had pulled in 300 million in Thighmaster sales over the years. I don't know if that's gross or net, but either way, it's a great number. I love it for her. Okay, we got a lot to get to with our Starts at Cut. So why don't we start, Jason, what are you starting this week?
This week, on the heels of you saying that that game was stupid, which it was, I'm not going to lie to you about that. I am starting backup QBs. You know what? What do you call it? You know what tired is?
What?
Saying that that everyone needs a good backup QB. Mm-hmm, you know what wired is?
Hmm.
Having Tyrod Taylor. Just don't put a needle in his lung. It's that easy. Is it bad for Daniel Jones that Tyrod Taylor clearly is better at quarterback for the New York Giants than Daniel Jones is? Is that bad?
Is he clearly better, or is he the same but just cheaper? That's the worst thing, I think.
That's fine. That makes him better. Like, algorithm-wise, that makes him better.
Yeah, it's the thing where you're like, wait, I'm paying what for this? And I'm getting the same thing, and I'm paying what for that? Huh? And they did a couple, I got to be honest with you, they do a couple cut-twos of Daniel Jones on the sidelines, and I'm like, my guy doesn't look like he's, I know he hasn't had CTE, but he's got CTE face of just like, where am I? Almost like, big plane in sky, where ball, Daniel sad. And I'm just like, and I know he went to Duke, I know he's a smart guy, I know he processes information at a high level.
Is
but
he?
I just wouldn't trust that guy.
How do we know that?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I know that. I'm just assuming.
I know he went to Duke, right? But what if he's not your standard Duker? I mean, Kyrie Irving is out there. He went to Duke.
Right. He went first semester.
I don't care. I'm just saying, like, I'm, you know, shout out to Christiana, an actual smart person that went to Duke, right?
Yeah.
Some people, not everybody that went to Duke is the brightest. You know how we always, like, big, dumb lumber.
Can I clean that up for you? Because you brought Christiana, and then you made the point, not everyone who went to Duke is the brightest. I don't think
you
meant
what I already said. She is an example on the other side. I made that very clear.
Sure, sure.
This is about Kyrie and Daniel Jones, not about Christiana, like you're trying to make it about, okay?
You know what the only thing that kept me on the fence with Kyrie was that Christiana said that he was really cool, and that, like, I think she had a class or two with him, and, like, he was the best dude. And I was like, well, maybe I misunderstood Kyrie Irving.
I can't be clear about that situation. When you're fake going to class and you know you're going to be there for 3.5 months, I could be the fakest, coolest guy on the planet for 3.5 months in essentially what is just going to a mall. You're going to a room with a lot of people in it, and you don't have anything to do there. You don't have to turn in any work, you know?
I think that's the worst version of myself when I know this is pointless. I really don't suffer pointless meetings or gatherings well. You know I don't.
I think that Tyrod is maybe one of the best backups on the entire planet. Here's the thing. I want to give credit to Zach Wilson as well, and Aaron Rodgers being there. Zach Wilson is not playing as the worst backup quarterback in the league right now. He's not terrible. He beat the Bills. He beat the freaking Eagles. What is happening?
Yeah, like, I think, I mean, even shout out to PJ Walker, you know, for the Browns beating the Niners. That was kind of crazy. I think the secret to the backup is just don't lose, you know? Don't win, but don't lose, you know?
And you
just
don't, like, have to look great. PJ Walker looked terrible, but he won.
Yeah. You know who else looks terrible?
Tyrod and Zach definitely didn't cut anything out of calling him a different name. Zach Wilson looked not bad. PJ Walker did not look good.
He didn't look good, but Kevin Stefanski also didn't look good. I'm starting to worry about him because he is on the sideline. He's giving a little bit of a defeated Civil War general face at all times. You know, like, I'm listening to I'm finishing up a biography.
The Roman Empire.
No, I've moved on. This is a big Custer energy, Little Big Horn, Last Stand, everything. And there's a guy, I want to say his name is Reno. There's a general Reno they're trying to pin, like, the blame on. And the way they describe this guy, he's he was brought up on charges for being involved with another officer's wife and also peeking in the window of an officer's 13-year-old daughter. And that's what Stefanski's giving me right now, of just, like, a series of bad decisions. Allegedly, legitimately metaphorically. It just seems like a guy who's like, I made a mistake. I shouldn't be here. What's happening right now?
Is Stefanski, like, the number one coach of, like, we believe in you, but we all agree it's not going to happen with him in the room.
Do you think he's just traumatized from Deshaun Watson? Because what's going on there? There's the, him not playing, but him being cleared. That's weird. That's strange.
You want to talk about Daniel Jones acting weird on the sidelines and just like aloof, if you will?
Yeah.
But buzzword, word of the week, aloof. Deshaun Watson was all into it, man. He was running around, jumping around, supporting his teammates. Now, I'm not, you know, something's, I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of avoiding your question. But on the other hand, Daniel Jones didn't look that interested in being in this on the sidelines to support the team because he knows Tyrod Taylor is better, and I love Tyrod Taylor.
Daniel Jones has unfrozen caveman look. That's the issue I have with him, and I'm not sure that we're not in a Cro-Magnon man situation. You know,
I agree. He doesn't know how to have joy. He doesn't know how to be there for his teammates. So we're on the same page there.
Okay, it's a late evolving emotion for prehistoric man. I agree with you. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start you, Jason. I'm gonna start you, buddy. Because big weekend.
Here we go.
Listen.
Was it last week? If your starts, I'm not apologizing for interrupting you. Wow. If your starts are the high road and then me in back-to-back weeks, you're on a path that I don't know is healthy for you.
I sometimes it's tough love and sometimes it's appropriate love. And I just want to say congratulations. Notre Dame looked great. Even during the game, I was trying to be adulatory, and you're like, wait, settle down. It's too early. Don't do this. Like, I was trying to jinx you. I was just trying to be like, Notre Dame looks great. USC looks so soft, softer than puppy turds. And Notre Dame just boat raced them, just out punched them, just looked really good. I thought it was a great bounce back win. You made the best player in college football, maybe of the last 3, 4, 5 years, look pedestrian. So the floor is yours, my man. Like, how are we feeling right now?
Feeling good. You know, I'm not going to take a bunch of laps here. I got to make sure that Andre pays. He is not paid yet. Quick update. Here's the thing. This all goes back to that Ohio State game because, and I'm not sad about the good thing that happened Saturday. I told you they were going to win. They won. I can't believe they won in that fashion. Shout out to the defense. Turning over Caleb Williams, running it back, tons of yards on returns from interceptions, good field placement, all those things, yada, yada. If they would have beaten Ohio State, I've never been like a regret, look back type person. There is no way that Notre Dame was beating Louisville that night. So we don't even have to talk about that. Louisville was the better team that day, maybe on the season, no clue. But Ohio State, if Notre Dame would have just freaking beat Ohio State in that close game, this whole conversation would be different. But you know what Andre's reply was? Two losses. You can't do anything. You can't do anything in this college football economy with two losses. So this USC win is incredible. I cannot, just like last week, stop thinking about that Ohio State game. That was the game that mattered.
Listen, can I push back a little bit? I think you are the record that you should be. I think if you beat Ohio State, you lose to Duke. Fact. You know, I just think that would have been such a letdown game. I think it was splitting hairs in terms of which game you show up to, which game you don't. I think the two losses is appropriate. No offense, obviously. But I do think I was a little concerned because I thought Notre Dame was going to put up more points against a really terrible USC defense, and they didn't look great. They made plays when they had to. But I think in terms of the gauntlet, I feel like you're out. You're out of the really dark times of this season. So congratulations.
I think so too. Sam Hartman, rib god. I got to tell you, he is so attractive. He's starting to get his due. I think the USC exposure to those fake fans really helped. And what if he's not as good as he showed against Navy and the likes for the first few weeks?
Well, there are a couple deep outs where I was like, man, that's taking a long time to get there. You know, it's a little Peyton Manning in the last year of his career. I'm just like, ooh, I've got like a punt timer, like hang time on this throw. It's not really on a rope necessarily. So I don't know. Maybe he is who everyone else thought he was.
And I still really love Sam. I just don't think the Bears are going to take him number one overall to compete with Justin Fields. Does that make sense?
I agree with you.
We're hearing rumors that Caleb Williams is coming back to USC because he can make more money there. For another season?
I'll be honest with you. If I'm Caleb Williams, I'm not coming back to USC if that's what I'm coming back to because that team didn't look prepared. That a lot of the offense was just like, Caleb, be awesome. And that doesn't make me happy. That it's not an indictment on Lincoln Riley, but I don't know. There's a weird vibe with that USC team. Almost like we're really messy, and we're one of those people who our phone's always dead, but we always manage to show up on time. But then, like, this was the week where they showed up 3 hours late, and they're like, "Oh, my bad, dog, my bad." And eventually, that bites you. And I just don't know what's happening with that.
I don't think it's messy in that locker room, though. They seem to all get along. They seem to support each other. Like Caleb Williams, I still love him. I really do.
He's terrifying.
I do not like liking a USC quarterback, but yeah. He has a positive attitude on the sideline. He kept them going. He did not play well, so it was obviously his fault. So maybe he was just kind of talking himself up more than anything. But I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. It was a good win. It was a strong win. There's something wrong with the offense, and I'm getting even more nervous. But with two losses, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm excited to play against Tennessee, who covered. Great job, Tennessee, in the Outback Bowl.
You never know. Could be a weird year. You know, you never know what could happen. All right, what are you sitting this week?
This week, I am sitting. You referenced it with PJ Walker beating and the Cleveland Browns beating the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sitting the 49ers injuries. I'm just sick of this happening again. Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel left the game with injuries that we're not sure on what the impact is.
Yeah.
And this is what happens every freaking year for the 49ers. I grew up a Broncos fan. I hate the 49ers. But guess what? Yeah. This team is incredible. George Kittle, the defense, everything. I love watching them. And then they start getting injuries, and it never stops, and we never get to see what they're actually capable of, especially in the playoffs. Does it have to do with me having bets of the Bills beating the 49ers in the Super Bowl or the 49ers beating the Bills specifically in the Super Bowl? Sure, obviously, you know, and you're taking shots at the Bills. I didn't like that either. So it's like, I'm so tired of the 49ers getting injured. I don't want the storyline again. I want any other storyline for the 49ers. Any other one.
Are you prepared to hear "and I told you so," or should I hold on that? Should I wait?
I already know. That's why I'm bringing it up. That's why it's my sit, okay?
Yeah.
I'm aware.
You forgot Trent Williams. He also was injured in that game, although he came
back. Exactly. And did you see at the beginning of the game when they had that fake fight? And
no.
I think somebody
tried to tell. I don't think that was fake.
Well, it wasn't for Trent. Yeah.
The DB that he put into the 22nd century. I don't know that he thought it was
the
fake.
The other guys in that fake fight were like real hold me back type fighters.
Yeah.
And then everybody, I'm not even kidding, go watch the clip. Everybody got real serious when Trent Williams came in, shoved one guy, and then the fight was over because not even the 49ers wanted that to happen.
No, nobody wanted any smoke in that situation, especially not the Browns. Yeah, man, like I'm not quite going to start me not betting on the NFL and take a victory lap, because I was never as glad as this weekend to have not placed any money on the NFL, just because it looks so unreliable and just so...
Dolphins covered. Lions covered. Well,
they start out down 14-0, and I'm like, what is happening? What's going on here? I'm not going to comment on that, but I did want to comment on, I don't know if you saw this, my sit is the Olympics. They announced that, I don't know if it's like 100% done, but they're considering flag football at the next Olympic sports celebration.
In LA, I think? That'd be the first one?
Like, because I think they had baseball, softball, they had lacrosse, they had flag football. These are all interesting sports. With flag football, I'm sitting it because I don't want to get too invested, because if this is like a bunch of insurance salesmen, you know, from the weekend team, or a bunch of like fraternity bros who like, they have the best like, fraternity, or they're the fraternity championship at SMU or something. I'm not interested in that. I want Tyreek Hill playing quarterback. That's what I want to see. And if that's it, I'm going to start this. But if that's not it, if we don't have professional football players playing in the Olympics and flag football, I'm sitting this. I've no.
Did you see Tyreek's tweet? The cheetah tweet about who else is on this team with me?
Who's coming with me? Let's go. Let's do it.
I was very nervous when you put this on the sheet because I was afraid that you didn't want it. But what you want is for it to be good and to ensure that the U.S. dominates. Now, this is the first time you're supporting the country that you were born in and live in. Is that a different feeling for you to be a patriot finally?
You know, I've really supported the women's national soccer team, both in word and deed and financial matters. So this is not actually the first time, but it is for men's sports for the most part. So it is a little weird. It is a little strange.
There are highlights of women's flag football that are electric. Have you seen the one? This is a long time ago. I think this is like college powder puff or something, where it like focuses on this one girl's head and she just annihilates everybody.
And she doesn't like get touched. Like literally does not touched.
I think about that like once a week because the camera situation, that was the first time like I saw like the head stay still and everything else moves.
Is that what they're doing on the Bijan Robinson like drone camera overhead? Like they're focusing on the ball and when they follow him, like whenever, whatever he does.
Oh, like that behind the back catch that he did last week or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, it's some kind of tech that I, you know, I can't even explain to you right now. I could, but I, you know, I don't want you to
start technology probably. Yeah.
I'm into this because flag football, like I like watching cornhole, darts, flag football. I like watching these sort of things. What did I get into the other day? I was telling you about kickball. I was telling you that I was watching elite kickball tournaments and they had all these rules and things going on. I've watched a little bit of Finnish baseball. Just a wild sport to watch. Everybody Google Finnish baseball. The field setup, the rules, everything's insane. There's a creek involved. Flag football is actually kind of refreshing from the perspective of you know the rules of football, but you don't have to argue if the player was down or not. You don't continuation through the ground, all that. The flag was on or the flag was off.
But then you get flag guarding. Like there's going to be a whole conversation about what constitutes flag guarding. I'm into all of it. I just want to see.
Okay, you're into it. Okay, good. I was building up a case for I'd rather talk about flag guarding, and it's a different version of were they down or not. So, okay, good.
This is a zero-sum game. It's either professional athletes and I'm in, or it's not and I'm out. Okay?
Okay, so it's not for me. I'm excited, even if it's not Tyreek Hill, who's obviously not going to play on Team USA for flag football. So you already have your answer right now.
No, but I'm back in. I'm actually back in.
Oh, yes.
If it's like it can only be regional district managers of fast food restaurants. Those are the only people we will consider.
Now you get it.
Now I'm completely back in. I just don't want like the mediocre, lukewarm mid-tier athletes. I either want like the most American-looking Americans ever playing this, or I want Tyreek Hill. There's no in between for me.
Tired watching cornhole professionals play other cornhole professionals. Wired watching cornhole professionals play with Mike and the Vinny from Jersey Shore, like they literally did on ESPN2.
Love it. Yeah. See the degree of difficulty.
They're almost the same. No, I'm just kidding. The professionals are way better.
Yeah, I'm looking for the variability, right? I'm not looking for milliseconds off a time. I'm looking for wide ranges of like he missed the board. Versus, like instead of people being like threading the needle and one person threading it just a little bit better, you know, I feel like that's a very understandable view, with flag football at the Olympics. What are you cutting this week?
This week I'm cutting gambling. Here's the situation. It's kind of like what you said. The Bills did not cover in one of the biggest covers, one of the biggest lines of the season. Let's just call that bad. The 49ers lost on the road. The Seahawks lost on the road. The Eagles lost on the road. Now, I can't believe that these teams lost. And did I have them a couple of different ways? Yeah. But again, your boy, world's evenest gambler, I had like X number of bets, and I came out of Sunday with like minus 0.66 units.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, look, I've been taking a break. I don't have a good feeling about things, you know, and like, I'll go ahead and go into my cup because it was one of the things that I felt pretty strongly about. And it was the Oregon Washington game, which, I'm not cutting the game. I'm going to cut people criticizing Dan Lanning for his fourth down call of going for it to try to ice the game. Even though if he missed, he was going to give Michael Penix Tip Jr. in Washington the ball on, with a very short field to
no win, go ahead no score. Win situation right there.
No win, but I love the call. I think in the text thread, I called him a psycho, but I was like, I absolutely loved it because if you convert, game over. And I think even though Oregon had done a really good job holding down Washington in the second half, I think he went into it, and I think he said it at halftime. I don't know if he said in the pregame, we're an aggressive team, we're going to be aggressive. And everything he did followed that principle. The thing I don't like about coaches is when they say one thing and then they start to change or they get in the middle of a situation and they pull up or they get conservative. It's like, be who you are and roll with it. I thought he did, and I loved it. Also, whether Oregon wins that game or whether Washington wins that game, I really don't. Nothing changes for me. I think Oregon was 8, Washington was 7. I would keep them the same. I would probably bump Washington up. Washington needs to be higher. That's a top five team right there. Because I think when we talked last week, I had Oregon in the top five. I think if you play this game 10 times, it's 5-5. It's especially the home field environment was electric for Washington. But this was a super well played game. Good job, Bo Nix. I didn't think he was quite as good as his stats said, but he played great.
Wow, good job, Bo Nix.
Good job, Bo Nix. Like, especially there was a middle third quarter to the fourth quarter. There's only one bat there. It was one of those fourth down plays where he just angled it. But he looked great. I thought the teams looked great. The coaching was great. The atmosphere was great. That was one of the, I haven't seen a game in the SEC that was like that this year. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean,
because I was toggling between Texas A&M and Tennessee and Oregon, Washington. And I was like, this is not the same. You know?
Okay, but you're talking about two top 5-10 teams in Oregon and Washington against two struggling, not elite teams. And no one's arguing that they're elite.
Find me the elite teams in the SEC, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point, though, right? You're like, okay, then find me where the good SEC game is. Ole Miss, who'd they play? LSU, Alabama? Didn't they have a close game recently that was actually kind of good? Yeah, but I know. I get it. Oregon, I had Oregon +3. They lost by 3. My bet pushes. Mm-hmm. I loved that game. I wish I would have won it. I thought Oregon was the better team. I think Washington has to jump them. Just a little bit interested on your wording and what you said. Are you saying that they're still the same teams? Fully equivalent, 50-50, just depends on where we are? Or do you still believe that Oregon's better? Because that's where we landed a little bit, at least 1% last week.
Yeah, I think it's a 51-49, right? I think
in favor of?
Oregon. And I don't want to denigrate Washington because I thought they were so good. The defense played a lot better.
And for the record, you rode them all year, not just to cover. You actually liked them besides what we recorded.
Michael Penix, what a reaction after the game. Good for him, his journey being there. I don't know that he should be -140 to win the Heisman because he played great. There were stretches where I was like, I don't know about this, you know? So I think they'll come to earth a little bit. But both of these teams, if I'm seeing them in the playoff, I'm excited to have either of them, you know?
I love that. And I hope that they play Tennessee or Texas A&M in the playoff. That's going to be a great game.
Absolute boat race. Either of those teams. That's the thing. It's like some of the game level that I'm seeing, we're accustomed to seeing in the SEC. And we're like, oh, it's just different because it's a little grittier, a little dirtier in the SEC. Like it's a grind out. But I think you put Michigan, you put Oregon, you put Washington, you put Texas in a stadium with Florida, in a stadium with LSU. It's going to be a boat racing, man. Like it's not going to be close.
Not a hot take. The portal is just changing so really much is. In college football, because when there wasn't the portal, when there wasn't NIL, I mean, when I say portal, I mean portal and NIL, mm-hmm. You know, you had to recruit, you had to promise victory, you had to do certain things. You couldn't do reclamation projects as quickly as you can now. And that's where the SEC just dominated the crap out of everybody. And now everybody's just like, let me go somewhere else and play. Because of social media and the coverage of all these games and even games on Peacock, shout out Peacock, not a sponsor, but if you'd like to sponsor, I'd love to be a part of that situation. Mm-hmm, Peacock games simulcast on Peacock and NBC. These Peacock games are really great coverage. I'm kidding. I think that there is an opportunity here to short the SEC.
Can you do that? I'd love to.
Let's figure it out, bro.
Okay, let's get on the markets.
What if we can bet SEC bowl games? You know how they usually lose a lot of bowl games, but they're mm-hmm. still better teams, and I still believe in that. Can we get ahead of that? DraftKings, can we bet, not a sponsor, can we bet SEC had to have a losing record in bowl games?
God, I would love to bet that.
But right now.
Yeah, get on that right now. I would love to get in on that because I just think it's a different world right now. And the game level is just... I'm really excited to watch Penn State, Ohio State this weekend. We'll talk more about that later on this week. But it's going to be, I think it's just going to be a reminder that the quarterback play is just at a different level. And sometimes that's all you need right now. It's just a really good quarterback, you know? Okay, that is going to do it for Starts to Cut this week. We'll be back later this week with our longer form episode. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time. Bad, 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 bad